right. Well, first, I'd like to thank the APHA for allowing me the opportunity to present this research, and also thank Professor Mercer for moderating the session. I'd also like to start by acknowledging our Malawian partners at the Malawi Ministry of Health and the Kamuzu Central Hospital Department of Surgery, as well as the Division of Trauma, Critical Care, and Burns within the University of North Carolina Department of Surgery for supporting this endeavor. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So first, I just want to start off by emphasizing that traumatic injury is a leading cause of death and disability worldwide. Paul Farmer recently commented that surgical disease has been neglected as a serious public health problem, despite its major contribution to death and disability worldwide. He was speaking in particular to his work in Haiti, but there's similar neglect throughout the developing world, including in countries such as Malawi. So his words, I think, are important because they emphasize that addressing injury prevention is a very fruitful endeavor because there's opportunity for great marginal return when compared to other areas of health promotion. In addition to having a high impact on mortality, throughout the world, injury also leads to a significant loss of disability-adjusted life years. In Africa, the loss of dailies from injury, when summed up, is almost half that of the loss of dailies from malaria. When you compare the loss of dailies due to injury in Africa to the leading cause of lost dailies in high-income American countries, you see that injuries cause threefold the loss of dailies when compared to unipolar depression, which leads in high-income American countries. There's little data on injuries within Malawi, but I wanted to start with a brief comparison of Malawi to the United States. The life expectancy in Malawi is only 41.1 years. The per capita income is $150. The infant mortality rate is 1 in 10. 14% of the population suffers from HIV/AIDS. The per capita road traffic related deaths is twice that of the United States. And there are only 2.1 physicians per 100,000 compared to 239 per 100,000 in the United States. So what exactly is injury prevention? Oftentimes, injury prevention is accomplished by a warning label or a billboard, but it's much more than a simple word of caution. Injury prevention requires solid injury surveillance, which allows you to define the disease burden as well as the risk factors. It also requires surveillance so that scientifically sound prevention strategies can be designed and evaluated. Surveillance within injury prevention really was summarized quite succinctly by Charles Mock, who has an interest in injury prevention and works for the WHO, when he stated that surveillance is a continuous process. So prevention of injuries can be categorized much like any prevention effort into primary, secondary, and tertiary prevention. Primary prevention involves environments and behavior modification. Secondary prevention involves the pre-hospital phase or emergency response, transport mode, transport time. And then lastly, tertiary prevention involves the provision of trauma care, which includes in-hospital care, operative interventions, and rehabilitation. These three pictures illustrate examples of prevention. The top picture shows a common means of transport within Malawi, which is by a flatbed truck. Since I started working in June of 2008 with the Department of Surgery at KCH in Lilongwe, Malawi, I've seen four mass casualties when these trucks overturn. The most serious one that I saw involved 30 admissions to the hospital and 8 fatalities. The middle picture is an example of secondary prevention. The United Kingdom supported the provision of these motorbikes to rural areas so that birthing women could get medical care where otherwise they could not. And then the bottom picture is an example of some of the issues that can be addressed with tertiary prevention. This is a burn patient at KCH, and you know, just from looking at the picture without even knowing that much about burn care, these wounds are grossly infected, the bed sheets are soiled, and despite having his injury over a week ago, he still has a urinary catheter in place. So in designing our registry, we really focused on collecting data in this resource-constrained setting and collecting data that was pertinent to primary, secondary, and tertiary prevention efforts. We first looked to the U.S. experience with trauma registries. The U.S. began trauma registries over 3 decades ago, and really it culminated with the major trauma outcomes study in the 1970s and 80s. This was a study of an aggregate of information from hospitals throughout the country. Using logistic regression, they designed several scoring systems that could predict such factors as need for admission, in-hospital mortality, 30-day mortality. One of the scoring systems, the revised trauma score, was quite simple. It utilized Glasgow coma score, systolic blood pressure, and respiratory rate. But all of the other scoring systems that are still in use today, such as the injury severity score, the trauma score, injury severity score, these rely on ICD-9 coding. And as you probably know, ICD-9 coding, or International Classification of Diseases, developed by the WHO, requires fairly extensive documentation as well as retrospective chart review. In Malawi, we neither have the manpower for this retrospective review or the infrastructure in place to manage the medical records, let alone the strict documentation that we have in the United States. So in Malawi, the ICD-9 coding is really not possible. One of the most recent studies to come out of the U.S. data was a national evaluation of the trauma care system. McKenzie et al. Studied the impact of level 1 versus level 2 trauma centers on mortality. Basically, severely injured patients are transferred to regionalized level 1 trauma centers. The authors found that this led to a 25% decrease in mortality after adjusting for patient factors. U.S. registry data has also contributed to other studies of prevention, including primary prevention issues such as wearing bicycle helmets, and secondary prevention issues such as the impact of shorter transport times on patient mortality after an injury event. We also looked to registries within the developing world when we were designing our registry. Kobusingwe and Let in Uganda developed a trauma registry based on what they termed a minimal data set, and they successfully implemented this in Uganda. So really, they were able to show that this can be done. They also showed that road traffic injuries were the leading cause of mortality within Uganda, and they informed WHO efforts to calculate Africa-wide statistics related to injury. They were also able to develop what they termed a Kampala trauma score, which utilized data available at their hospital to predict need for admission as well as mortality. We realized that really we could not include detailed information such as ICD-9 coding as is done in the United States, yet we also recognized that we would benefit from gathering an expanded data set when compared to the Ugandan experience. So first we met with the Department of Surgery at KCH in January of 2008, and they had actually started a trauma registry a year before. So we sat down with them, reviewed their data, and really came up with a new tool that would expand the data set and collect information that would really be pertinent to these different types of injury prevention. And we undertook this as more than an effort to improve their trauma registry. We also supported their clinical efforts by having faculty routinely go visit for several weeks. I'm there for the entire year working with their surgeons. And we also helped faculty within their department identify other areas that would benefit from programmatic or research endeavors to improve care. So again, KCH began their trauma registry in July of 2008. We began working with them in January of 2008. And then over the next couple months, we hired two clerks to assist with nighttime data collection, which proved to be particularly difficult. And then starting this July, we were able to collect consistent data on patient outcomes. The registry that we are working with now is collected in real time. In the future, we hope that retrospective data might be possible, but this really requires increased manpower and improvements in record keeping over the current standards at KCH. This is the current version of our form. It's a one-sheet, double-sided A4 piece of paper. It's easy to use. We have clerks that have basically secondary level education, a knowledge of English, but really not much knowledge the medical field before we provide short one-day training. They're able to use it. The data is then entered into an access database, and we regularly review the data and the form to ensure that the quality and accuracy of the data is what we're striving for, and this involves fairly regular changes to the form. So since July, we've collected outcomes data, and starting in July, that's the current version of the form we're using. For July and August of 2008, we had 1,116 patients in the registry. 76% were male, and the age distribution is seen here on the left. You see that there's an early peak among 5 and under. There's a second peak in 21 to 30-year-olds, and then a small third peak among 46 to 50-year-olds. And this is the U.S. data. And you'll notice that the age distribution between Malawi and the United States is remarkably similar, with one exception. In the U.S., there's a fourth peak in 70 to 90-year-olds, and this is due almost entirely to an increased incidence of falls. We don't see that in our registry because the life expectancy in Malawi is 41 years. The most common mechanism that we saw was road traffic injuries, followed by assaults and falls. Less common mechanisms included burns, collapsed structures, bites, foreign bodies, and gunshot wounds. The most common injuries that we observed were superficial lacerations, contusions and abrasions, and fractures. More severe but less common injuries included burns, penetrating wounds, and closed head injuries, which each accounted for 5% of the injuries. Among our registry results from July and August, 77% of the patients were treated as outpatient, 20% were admitted, 17 to the ward, and 1% each to the high dependency unit and the intensive care unit, and 3% of the patients seen after injuries were brought in dead to the casualty department. We were also able to capture outcomes data, as I mentioned, starting in July. And what I want to point out on this slide is not necessarily the actual numbers, but really emphasize that the definition of a mortality that you use has a very significant impact on your results. And this is true even in the United States. When you look at in-hospital mortality versus the National Trauma Data Bank definition of mortality, you see almost a twofold difference. And perhaps the most striking result that we found was the difference between the National Trauma Data Bank definition of mortality in Malawi, which was 25.7%, and that's in the United States, which is 3.6 to 4.1%. This is a six-fold difference. I'm not sure why we're seeing this. There's a number of different possible explanations. We're hypothesizing that it's really related to differences in pre-hospital times and pre-hospital mortality, but we need more data to test this hypothesis. And then regarding the applicability of scoring systems to Malawi, and we're really going to focus on simplistic scoring systems because, as I mentioned, ICD-9 coding is not feasible, and ICD-9 coding is required for most of the scoring systems used in the United States. So instead, we plan to design a more simple scoring system that relies on information that we can collect easily within our hospital. So over the next year, we plan to design a model based on information available in Malawi to predict such things as need for admission, the ideal place for admission, be it ICU, HDU, or ward, as well as mortality. We're going to also use geographic information systems to look for spatial patterns among injury types, mechanisms, or patient demographics. We hope that this exploratory analysis will point us towards the most fruitful intervention efforts. And lastly, we're going to partner with other stakeholders within Malawi, including the Road Traffic Safety Council, who's charged with road traffic injury prevention. And ultimately, we really hope that our data will lead to the most effective distribution of resources in this resource-constrained setting. So I thank you for your attention, and I really look forward to your feedback.
Thank you so much. We actually have time for one question, if there are any, or we can just hold them till the end. Why don't we just wait till the end? That'd be better. Thank you so much. Thank you. Our next speaker is Sharon Steele. And Sharon is a clinical health facility planner for Project Hope, which is an NGO based here in the U.S. She's an RN by background, retired from the Army Nurse Corps a year ago after 23 years. And clinically, she's worked in emergency rooms, ICUs, outpatient areas, et cetera. And the last 12 years, she's been a clinical planner for health facilities. And Sharon has been working on the Basra Children's Hospital project at Project Hope for the last year. And she's going to talk about an American-Iraqi partnership in addressing high cancer incidence in children in southern Iraq.